Will you please stand for the reading of the Word of God? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and following, as today we conclude our sermon series, The Three Heavens, taken from my latest book by the same name, with this sermon, How Jesus Dealt with Demons. We began this series by confirming in the Scripture that there are three heavens. The first heaven is the heaven that you see with your natural eyes, with which we see the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the four blood moons. The second heaven is where Satan rules his evil empire with fallen angels and demonic spirits who carry out his bidding on the earth. Please hear this. Demons are not fallen angels. Three, the third heaven is where God Almighty has his throne, and he rules the universe with his holy angels. God is in absolute control of this earth. He is absolute control of every detail of your life. You need not worry about the future because God had it planned before you ever opened your eyes on this earth. And he says it's going to be all right. When you see these signs, lift up your heads and rejoice. I'm still in control. Give the Lord praise in the house. Then Paul said, I was caught up and carried into the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, logic says there's a heavens one and two. The third heaven is where Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of God the Father. The third heaven is where the righteous live in mansions of splendor. The third heaven is where you and you and you and you and you and I are going to wear crowns of life and dazzling white robes of splendor. It's where we're going to stand on the sea of glass before the Son of God and sing the song of the redeemed that's recorded in Revelation 5. For thou art worthy, say that with me, for thou art worthy, for you were slain and you have redeemed us unto God by your precious blood out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every tribe. For thou hast made us a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. It's enough to make a Baptist shout. Give the Lord praise in the house. The third heaven where we're going, where the streets are fine gold. And according to the book of Revelation, the walls are of jasper. There are 12 gates in that city, and those 12 gates are solid pearl. Now, some of you have pearls on your hand that are as big as a BB. But those gates are going to be solid in the city of God. There are 12 foundations to that city, the first three being diamonds, rubies, and emeralds, and nine more. Think about that. It's all we can do to get concrete to build something. There, they're using the best materials. Where we shall come from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and talk 1,000 years without hearing a phone ring, a look at a clock, or worrying about the next appointment you have to meet and you're late, and their time shall be no more. Heaven is going to be for real. Hallelujah. Heaven is where you're never going to have to say goodbye. All the tears that you will ever see are on this earth. Heaven has never seen a tear. Heaven is where there is no sickness and disease. Heaven is where we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. Heaven is the place where we're going to lift up our heads and rejoice, because the King has come, and we have become his bride, and we're getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's about to happen. Folks, the King is coming. Get ready. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Open your Bibles, please, and read with me Mark 16, 15 through 17. This is the Great Commission that Jesus Christ gave to 11 of his Jewish disciples who were commissioned to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. When they brought the gospel to the Gentiles, the Great Commission was fulfilled. But it is now the commission of the Gentile church to continue in the carrying of the Great Commission. And he, Jesus, said unto them, read with me, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth is baptized and shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, and they shall speak with new tongues. Stop right there. We're covering an area where the church in America is woefully lacking. Jesus sent no one out to preach without instructing them how to control evil spirits. Deliverance from evil spirits is not taught in seminaries across America today, which explains why many churches are threatened by the power of evil and why they are more New Age than New Testament. Until you get the devil out of the church, the Holy Spirit will not come to the church. Don't turn off the TV. Don't fall off the couch. This is all in the Word of God. Let's pray and begin. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for those who have come today to hear it. And from this platform to the nations of the world, Jesus Christ is Lord. The Word of God is true. The blood is still all-powerful. Satan is a defeated foe. And we have come today to resist him and to declare that the kingdom of God shall endure forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You may be seated. Are demons real? Jesus thought so. We read in the gospel that 76 times Jesus cast out demon spirits from those that came to hear him to teach. Deliverance almost always preceded every healing service in which Jesus partook. The fact is that 25% of Jesus' public ministry was dedicated to the casting out of evil spirits. Fact, Jesus never sent anyone out to preach without giving them the teaching and the power over demon spirits. Never. Check that in the New Testament. Matthew 10:1, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. That is a basic principle of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is our leader, why aren't we doing that now? Well, I'm saying this. This church does that now. We always have. We always will. We're putting the devil in his place in the parking lot. He doesn't belong in the house of God. In Scripture, casting out evil spirits is the first thing Christ commanded the church to do. Get the devil in his place. Bind him. Get him out. The pastor of a church in the deep south was late for the Sunday morning service. The church was packed. Suddenly, the devil appeared in the pulpit. People began to scream and run out the back door. Some leaped out of the windows. Some dove under the pews. All tried to get away except one older man sitting right on the front row looking the devil dead in the eye. The devil said, you're not afraid of me? He said, absolutely not. The devil said, why not? He said, because I've been living with your sister for the last 20 years. I won't use that on Mother's Day, but it works today. Are demons real? St. Paul believed that demons were real. In Acts 16, Paul was followed by a woman who had a demon spirit for several days. Now think about that. You're the evangelist. You come to a town. You're going to have a revival. And there's a woman following you. Everywhere you go, the demon in her is crying out obscenities and things that are designed to keep you from having anyone to have any kind of a spiritual experience. Acts 16:18. So Paul turned and said to the spirit, not to the woman, but to the spirit in the woman, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And the Bible says, and he, the evil spirit, came out the same hour. That means we have authority over demon spirits. We have authority. Demons believed in St. Paul. The fact If you are a threat to Satan's kingdom, demons know your name. Here's Bible proof. Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva saw Paul cast out demons. And they said, wow, what a wonderful ministry that would be, going around casting the devil out of people. So they thought, we'll try it. So they found a demonized man, and they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And the demon interrupted them in Acts 19:15. And the demon said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And that one demonized man tore the clothes off of seven men who are looking for a new ministry and ran them into the street naked. May I introduce to you the naked ministry? They're looking for a ministry of deliverance. The message here is you really do need to be plugged into the Lord before you take on the devil. Demons are real. Through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of His Word, we can expel evil spirits. But don't you ever think it is a wrestling match between you and something else. It is a wrestling match that Christ has already won at the cross through the victory over death, hell, and the grave. The victory is ours through Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. How do demons invade your life? The answer is they invade your life by your invitation. They don't take you over. You invite them in. You invite them in by the books you read. When you read the Bible, you're inviting the presence of the Holy Spirit into your life because the Holy Spirit wrote this book. When you read an occult book by Edgar Cayce or by Anne Rice or by anyone else, when you allow your child to read Harry Potter, or any book that is themed on witchcraft and curses and blood sacrifices, you are giving Satan the opportunity to invade your mind and the opportunity to invade the mind of your child. Watch what your children are reading. It's very important. The battle for your soul begins in your mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The Bible says the mind of man is enmity against God. Enmity means at war. Your carnal mind is at war with God. The Bible says, I will put my laws in their mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination. Imaginations is what you have when you watch pornography on television. And every high thing would be intellectual idolatry. Intellectual idolatry goes like this. I don't believe the Bible because my thoughts are equal to or greater than the Word of God. And there are a lot of people in this nation who refuse to read and accept the Bible because they feel their pseudo-intellectual capacity far exceeds anything St. Paul might have ever put down. That's what you call intellectual idolatry. It's not wrong to be bright and to be intelligent or to be educated. But when you think you know more than God, that's what you call ignorance going to seed. There are three phases in the battle of your mind. Fascination, form, and fact. Say that with me. Fascination, form, and fact. Adam and Eve in the garden, Satan said, would you like to be like God? That's fascinating power. Here's the form, the fruit. Eat it. Adam did. And I'm going to boot his backside when I get in heaven first thing out. Adam, run when you see me coming, brother. Satan comes into your home. Would you like to have supernatural power? That's fascination. Here's this occult book. Read it. Here are these tarot cards. Play with them. And the demons invade your mind. And I want to tell you this. When they come in, they're not going to go out by you reading some psycho-cybernetics book. They're only going to come out through the authority of Jesus' name and the blood of the cross. You invite Satan into your life by the movies you watch. The Exorcist was the movie that started the occultic wave in America years ago. Let me tell you the story of a young girl in the church where I pastored on Loop 410. Some of you were there. She went to the Exorcist, and she told her mother when she came home that something had changed in her life while she watched. Her response at church the next morning was proof evidence that it had. And here's what happened. I began to preach, ironically, on the blood of Jesus Christ. And as I began to preach, she began to writhe in the pew, moaning. It was so loud, I couldn't overcome it with a microphone. I had two elders to take her back to a counseling room. Diana went also. You could hear them on the other end of the building. When service was over, the mother brought the child into my office, said the child had been to the exorcist and so forth. I said, "Would you like for me to pray for this child to be delivered from this?" Her father was a psychiatrist. He said, "Absolutely not. I'm a psychiatrist, and the science of psychiatry will heal my daughter." They left. I never saw them again, but the last I heard, she had been under psychiatric help for years without any improvement. Again, when you open your mind to the Prince of Darkness, he's going to come in. And while I believe in psychiatry and I believe in counseling, demonic spirits eat those for lunch. They do not care. Only the blood of Jesus will make them leave. And that's the thing that works. Foolish parents allow their children to watch horror movies. Why? They produce fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. If God has come to defeat fear, why are you exposing your child to fear? There's no such thing as harmless fear. Years ago when I did church counseling, and people would come and say, "My child can't sleep at night," most of the time, those parents were allowing their children to watch horror movies. Why in the world would you allow the innocent mind of your child to be exposed to that? Sometimes the best thing on television is the knob that turns it off. Use it. Evil spirits can enter your life through the music that you listen to. Rock music has as its theme rebellion against authority, violence, sexual perversion, rape, death, murder, suicide, hate, revenge. The Karen Jones reports from the state of Oregon, quote, "Four people, three of whom considered themselves to be Satanists and members of a death metal band, listened to their, quote, death metal music, end quote, which included lyrics to, quote, the pickaxe murder, quote, an experiment in homicide, quote, meat hook sodomy, and other violent themes. These people randomly and brutally murdered a Derrimart female clerk without remorse, and their lawyers entered into evidence the death metal music and said this music drove them to commit this crime. Even the lawyer recognized the relationship to the music they were listening to and the violence they were doing." I'm saying this to the millions of homes that are watching me right now. If your teenage child is listening to music that's moved around hatred, violence, viciousness, things of that nature, throw that music in the trash. It has no place in your house. Demons can come into your life by the games you play. Horoscopes, charms, enchanters, fortune telling, all are forms of mind control. Trying to invade your mind with bitterness and the refusal to forgive other people, witchcraft of any sort, necromancy, anyone who prays to the dead. Hitler's elite SS Corps was structured around the occult and Satanism. If you want to read a book on that, you can find it in The Twisted Cross. The SS insignia is occultic. Now listen to this. The Harry Potter books have the same SS insignia that the Third Reich had in their published manual. And 400 million families have only bought that and given it to your children. I want to say this. When you put anything of that nature in your house, Satan has a legal right to come into your house. Our children are being mentally prepared to receive that sign. Himmler, a leader of the SS, believed that children conceived in cemeteries, listen to this, received the spirits of warriors who were buried in that cemetery. He caused the Third Reich to publish a list of acceptable cemeteries for German couples to conceive superhuman warriors to fight for the Third Reich. Think how demonic that is. Hitler's death was occultic. April the 30th is one of the most occultic days in Satanism. Hitler's war against the Jews was demonic. When Hitler was losing the war, when Hitler needed every train possible to carry troops, weapons, ammunition, he never stopped one train that was carrying the Jews to the death camps, because his mission was the systematic extermination of the Jewish people. Why did he hate them with such a pathological hatred? Understand that in Genesis, there was a war between light and darkness that began, between good and evil. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Hitler was obviously a prince of darkness. The Jewish people brought to the world the light of the Word of God. They gave to us Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They gave to us the Old Testament prophets. They gave to us Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, a very celebrated Jewish rabbi. They gave to us the 12 disciples that followed Jesus Christ. They gave to us the entirety of the Word of God written by Jewish hands. This represents light. That's why those who are anti-Semitic are driven by the prince of darkness himself to dislike the Jewish people, because what's in them is the devil himself. That's the answer. Demons invade your life by the church you attend. Paul taught that in the last days there would be an apostate church, a counterfeit church, if you will. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Paul said in the last days there would be a church that would be counterfeit. It looked good, but it was poison in the roots. Any church that will ordain a homosexual as a bishop is walking in darkness. It's a counterfeit church. Any church that denies the Word of God is true is walking in darkness. It's a counterfeit church. I assure you, this book is true from cover to cover. Thy word is truth. Satan hates this book. Every demon in hell hates this book. I'll stop there because it'll get too far. People that hate the things of God hate this book. It is truth. It is light. It separates right from wrong. This is the book that reads you. You don't read it. And when we stand before God in the judgment, you're not going to be judged by the Junior Chamber of Commerce manual. You're going to be judged by the yea and the amen of the Word of God, this book right here. Any church that denies the virgin birth is a counterfeit church. Any church whose only message is how to make you feel good without being good, who tells you there's no need for you to confess your sin, you're already saved, you're walking in darkness, that's a counterfeit church. Any church that teaches access to God through any means other than Jesus Christ is teaching what St. Paul called to Timothy the doctrine of demons. Get that phrase in your mind. The doctrine of demons. The doctrine of demons is you can get to heaven many ways. We're all going on different roads, but we're all going to wind up at the same place. Not unless you're going to hell. Because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and redemption through His precious blood. The six main forms of demon activity. I am now telling you how to recognize demonic activity. One, demons entice. Demons, spirits make sin attractive and exciting. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin for a season. So I'm not going to deny that it's not fun for a while. But I am going to tell you it's the blast that doesn't last. Sin is fun until you find yourself in a padded cell, banging your head into a wall with your brains fried by drugs. Sin is fun until you hear the cold steel doors of the prison cell close behind you. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will make you stay longer than you want to stay. Sin will make you pay far more than you can pay. For every sin under the sun, there's a demon spirit whispering, "Try it. Try it. Just one little snort of cocaine and you'll be in heaven. Just one little shot of heroin. Just one night of adultery. You'll love it. Try it." And the next thing you know, your life is over because you have been seduced by the prince of darkness. Satan deceives. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. The Bible says he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He looks like a sheep, but he'll rip your throat out with his teeth. He's a serpent who is masterfully camouflaged, whose venom will kill your eternal soul. He looks good, but in the end, he will destroy you. For the first 12 years of my life, I was raised in the country. I mean the real country. My dad gave me a rifle at the age of 6 and turned me loose in the woods with the dogs to go hunting. I don't recommend you try that, by the way. But they just didn't think anything about it in those days. I was in the woods on this particular day, and I saw a little squirrel on a tree that was leaning. And it was popping his tail and coming down that tree trunk. He was looking at something at the bottom of that tree. And I got within about 10 feet and I saw the rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake was hypnotically moving his head backwards and forwards. And the little squirrel would bark and pop his tail and then back up and bark and pop his tail. But each time he was coming just a little closer. And each time he would get just a little closer. And very patiently the snake waited. Boom! I mean like lightning. His fangs wrapped around the neck of that squirrel. The venom went in and the squirrel died because he got just a fraction too close to sin and it destroyed him. Think about it. Think about it. Demons defile. Webster defines defilement as to make filthy, to corrupt the purity of perfection. I'm going to read that again. It means to make filthy, to corrupt the purity of perfection. That's what defilement means. Pedophiles who rape a child are driven by a demon spirit. America is flooded with pedophiles living under this three strikes and you're out rule. We need to lock these people up and throw the key away. In Satanism, sacrificing a newborn baby as a human sacrifice is considered a wonderful thing to do because the baby is totally innocent. A young mother in El Paso told the Associated Press, quote, "It is my pleasure to give my newborn baby to Lord Satan as a sacrifice," end of quote. The murder of an infant child is defilement. I believe abortion is driven by a demonic spirit. Abortion defiles America. Believe me, God punished Israel for sacrificing their children to the god Molech. They made them walk through the fire, and whenever Israel sacrificed their children, God sent them into a captivity that was brutal, that was harsh, and long-term. I'm saying this, 60 million babies have been murdered in the abortion clinics of the United States of America. God is not going to look the other way and give us a pass. We are begging for the judgment of God to come to this country if we do not stop taking the lives of the unborn. Demons enslave. Every drug addict is a slave. Every alcoholic is a slave. Every person bound by generational curses is a slave. Every person practicing any form of witchcraft is a slave. Every person bound by the bitterness that spirit brings is a slave. Bound by resentment. Bound by rebellion against authority. Bound by the spirit of criticism. Everything is wrong all the time. Let me tell you something. When everybody's wrong all the time, it's you. It's you. When your mouth is full of nothing but fault finding, it's not because you're a genius. You've lost your mind. Demons torment. You can be tormented by your past. You can be tormented by the fear of the future. You can be consumed with self-pity. Some are consumed by the lack of self-confidence, the feeling that you can't do anything. This book says all things are possible to them that believe and are called according to the purposes of God. For nothing shall be impossible with God and to those who are called according to His purposes. Are you tormented by a lack of self-confidence? Maybe you were rejected by your father, by your mother. You're tormented by depression. You're tormented by the spirit of death. I've had people say, I'm 35 and I visualize the day I'm going to die. How stupid is that? Let me tell you, it's a fact. You're going to die sometime. One out of one always dies. That's a mathematical fact. Now that you're used to it, you can enjoy today. But you're not ready to live until you accept the fact you're going to die. Don't turn the television off. Are you perpetually filled with worry and anxiety? Do you fear other people? Do you fear the disapproval of other people? Do you let the foolish opinions of other people about you dominate what you do and what you become? God made you a free moral agent. The only person you need to fear is God Almighty. Quit letting other people's foolish opinions about you control your life. That's not the Bible way. Demons drive and compel. Restlessness, the Bible says, Isaiah 57:20, the wicked are like the troubled sea when they are driven by the wind which cannot rest. If there's an area in your life where you're totally out of control, you need to investigate that. Demons have personality. They have will. In Mark 5:11-13, when Jesus Christ cast the demons out of the demoniac at Gadara, the demons in the man asked if they could be permitted to enter the swine. They were in this madman who was in the tomb. And when Jesus walked up, they asked for permission to be put in the swine. That's will. Demons have emotion. James 2:19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. Tremble is a deep emotion. But I want you to hear this. If you go to church and all you have is an emotional experience, demons have that. Every time I mention the name of Jesus, They can't handle that. Emotional experience is nothing. Faith without works is dead. Jesus said, "He that heareth and doeth my word is my disciple." You can hear and become emotional. It's nothing until you do something. When you hear the gospel, do the gospel. Practice the gospel. Make it the law of your life. Now you're on the road to doing something. As long as you're emotional, you're accomplishing absolutely nothing. Demons have the ability to speak. Mark 1:24, the unclean spirit cried out. Mark 5:9, the demon answered him saying, Acts 19:15, and the evil spirit answered saying, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Demons have self-awareness. In Mark 5:9, when Jesus cast the demon spirits out of the demoniac of Gadara, he asked the demon spirits to identify themselves. And they said, "What is your name?" And they answered back, "Our name is Legion," because there's so many of us in here. Let me follow the generational curse and I'll stop. I'm not out of sermon, but I am out of time. A generational curse, and some of you in this building suffer with it. Some of you on television have this. Listen, you are right now living under the blessing of God or being controlled by an evil hand that is systematically destroying you or of some member of your family. You have seen people who are controlled by a curse. They are good people. They try, but they never seem to reach their goal. They have talent. They have ability. They do all the right things. They join all the right organizations. Yet success always eludes them. Their life is an endless series of calamity and shattered dreams. Just about the time they reach out to put their hand on guaranteed success, poof, it disappears. And it disappeared for their father, and it disappeared for their grandfather. It disappeared for the brother. The invisible hand of a generational curse reaches out to trip you. It happens over and over and over, and you experience events for which there is no logical reason. This pattern affects you repeatedly in your marriage, in your business, in your health, in your finances, especially in your relationships. Sometimes people living under a curse have success, but they don't enjoy that success. Suddenly, for no reason, they're dissatisfied, and depression covers them like a dark cloud. They have every reason to be happy, but they're not happy. They're never happy. The Bible causes for generational curses, or here's a couple. A father can place a curse upon his family by crooked business deals. Proverbs says, "If a man pays back evil for good, evil will never leave his house." Do you hear that? Evil will never leave his house. You be careful how you treat another person in a business deal. God is watching, and he'll make you pay for it, or he'll make your children pay for it. In American history, listen to what I'm about to say. Rich tycoons who made their fortunes grinding the face of the poor, their children grew up to have fame and power. But they lived in shame, and one tragedy after another plagued them because of the corruption of their father. That's a fact of an American history. There's a curse for recognizing false gods. The Bible says, "You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything in heaven or on the earth, for I am a jealous God." Listen, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children of those who hate me to the third and fourth generation. So let's say that a generation is 50 years. That's 200 years. Think about that. If you do what? If you have anything carved that's in your house that doesn't glorify God, if you fill your house with a statue of a snake, of a dragon, you need to take that baby out in the backyard and put an axe on it. It has no place in your house. That old serpent, the devil, that may be his legal card to be in your house. Don't turn the television off. I'm not even started here. If you recognize Satan in any way, he has a legal right, and his demon powers have a legal right to come into your house. Satan has a legal claim. This is a legal book. and you give him a legal claim to you and to the lives of your children. It's not enough to recognize God the Father as the first and greatest God. You must recognize him as the only God. Isaiah 45:21 says, "There is no other God beside me." Write that down. Isaiah 45:21, "There is no other God beside me." This thing we call pluralism, that there are many gods, is a lie. The Bible says there is one God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and there is no other. There are not many gods, there is one God. God the Father, he has a Son, Jesus Christ. They rule the highest heavens, and they are Lord of all. And if you have any other God but that God, it will not be well with you in the judgment bar of God, because the God of the heaven is going to judge this world by this text, because this text is truth. This is something America has forgotten. We as a people have political leadership telling us we are no longer a Christian nation. Let me correct you in Washington, D.C. We are still a Christian nation. We were a Christian nation. We will always be a Christian nation, because we will never give up the reality of the Word of God or the truth of the living God. Thy Word is truth. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Remain standing. Remain standing. How many of you in this room? Now, this service is about freedom. And as I'm talking about this generational curse, you are aware of something in your family, maybe for generations, maybe you've called it bad luck, that follows you like a country dog. You just can't get away from it. And you want to be free from it. Or you're controlled by a habit. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's nicotine. It'll kill you. It's not good for you. Maybe there's something in your past that you can't forget. The Bible says if you confess it, God forgets it and buries it in the deepest sea. He don't even think about it anymore. If God's forgiven you, why don't you forgive you? Quit letting the past control your present and destroy your future. If that describes you, let me see your hand right where you are. Hundreds in this room. How many of you have occultic books, movies, games in your house you need to get out? Let me see your hand. God bless you. How many of you say, I'm allowing my children to watch horror movies? Thank you. Some of you here can say, my life has been defiled by sin, but I want to be cleansed today by the blood of Jesus Christ that will make me white as snow. If that describes you, let me see your hand right where you are. Dozens raising your hand. I want everyone now to lift your hand and pray this prayer with me. Those of you watching by television, join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father,
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I ask you to cleanse me from all sin.
By the blood of the cross.
From this day forward. Satan has no claim on me. He has no hold over me. I am set free. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the word and the blood of the cross. From this day forward, the joy of the Lord will make rich and add no sorrow. I am a child of God. Heaven is my destiny. In Jesus' name, I am redeemed. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Glory to his name. Amen. Lift your hand for the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May you live in the confidence that your past is totally forgiven and forgotten by God Himself, that you have been cleansed, made pure. Satan has no claim against you. He has no hold over you. You have been liberated by the blood of the cross. You are victorious in the name that's above every name. Therefore, rejoice with exceeding joy, because God is your Father, His Son is your Savior, heaven is your home, and we're about to meet it face to face. Give the Lord praise and glory in the house of God. Bless the Lord.